scripture comes from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from the place, put it there at his head, and lay down in that place. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground with its top reaching heaven, and God's angels were going up and down on it. The Lord was standing there beside him, saying, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your offspring the land that you are now sleeping on. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. All the people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early in the morning, Jacob took the stone and set it up as a marker and named the place Bethel. Then Jacob made a vow, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey, and if I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I have set up as a marker will be God's house, and I will give to you a tenth of all that you give me.
You are the bright and morning star. This morning I want to share with you really along those lines of worship, which should be our resolution regarding worship. Last week we looked at the Word. We're looking at resolutions that I believe the Scripture teaches every Christian should make. They all start with W, coincidentally. Word, worship, witness, and work. We're going to take them in that order. I've rearranged the order a little bit from last week. But I want to speak with you what I think is maybe the second most important. I don't know that you can put any of these in a order of importance. But we're in Genesis chapter 28, and we're looking at the life of one of my favorite Bible characters. His name is Jacob. And Jacob is maybe a little like Peter in the New Testament. Jacob is a very faulty individual, crooked, almost crooked. His name actually means the planner, which would seem to almost suggest that here's a man who's very crooked in his dealings. Certainly not the saint. We generally use that word saint, we kind of use it in a very strict way often. Jacob doesn't fit that mold. But Jacob is very real, and this is what I like about Jacob, because really what you see is what you get with Jacob. He's a kind of a fellow struggler, a fellow seeker after God. But sometimes he did some things that were just, frankly dishonest. But what I love about him is that he had a heart for God. I think a little like David, who was one of his descendants, of course. He had a heart for God. He loved God. And he wanted to be used of God. He wanted God to use him. And where we find him here in this 28th chapter is on his way to Haran. Haran was in the Mesopotamian Valley to escape from his brother Esau. And I think the problems at home, he was sent away. He was a grown man by this time, of course. There were all kinds of uncertainties in his life. It was truly a fork in his road. Famous baseball player who said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Well, sometimes you don't have a choice. And I think it was that way with Jacob. He knew that this was what he had to do. And I'm not sure he was that happy about it. But he was on a pilgrimage in his life. And kind of the first step of 1,000 miles, as it were. And pretty close to that, actually. He came to Bethel. And that's where he had this experience. If you've sat in a Sunday school class very long, especially as children, I'm sure you've heard this story about Jacob pillowing his head on a stone, having this dream or vision of a stairway to heaven, angels ascending and descending on that ladder, Jacob's ladder it's called, something that Jesus alluded to when he came to, I believe it was Nathanael. He said, "You shall see the Son of Man ascending and descending upon this ladder to God." I think that he was talking about himself being that ladder, that way to God, that way to God that everyone seeks in their heart. I think even the atheist wants to know about that, the so-called atheist. I'm not sure that, there really are any true atheists. They say there are none in foxholes. But in difficult times, difficult circumstances, that's when we find that we need to have a higher power, as it were. And we need to know for certain that he is there and who he is. And that all of these things Jacob can teach us in this subject of worship. So I want us to look this morning at this second resolution that I believe a believer should make regarding the Word. Certainly we need to be reading the Word, studying it. We need to get God's word into our lives every way we can. But then worship. Jacob's life can teach us, I believe, about this second resolution regarding worship. What are some things that we can learn from this passage about worship? What's important about worship? What are some of the ingredients, if you will, of worship? Well, first of all, I'm glad you asked, because there's a place. There's a place of worship. That's why we're here this morning, isn't it? This is a holy place. This is a place where God has promised to meet with us. It's not holy necessarily because we're here. And in fact, I think it's not holy at all, because if we leave God out of that, He is the only one who is holy. But He said, "Be holy because I am holy." He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to meet with us together, but certainly as individuals. He wants to speak to our hearts. And He can only do that, of course, as individuals. Listen for that still small voice that He speaks to your heart, and He will give you guidance as you come to the Word, as you read the Word and study it, and then as you lift yourself up to Him in worship. The Bible says that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices. And I think kind of in a way Jacob did that. Maybe that's what the symbolism of the stone is here, that he rested his head on at night. But there was a place. It says when Jacob reached a certain place, he spent the night there. Now that was a holy place. I think it was holy because Jacob was searching in his heart. He wanted to know what he should do. He wanted to know why things have happened the way they've happened, and why he was now on his way to this distant land that I don't think he'd ever been before. Well, that's really an emblem of life, isn't it? A picture of life. We haven't been this way before. It's what really is so kind of exciting but also frightening about the new year. We haven't been this way before. So what can we learn about a place? Well, it was a providential place. We can learn about its providence, how God brought him to this place. It says that he reached a certain place and he spent the night there. And that place, we later learned, was Bethel. Now, it had previously been named Luz. It was an old city, obviously. And it probably wasn't in the town itself, but outside the town, that he had this encampment, I guess. He just stayed there for the night. It says he took one of the stones from the place, put it there at his head, and lay down in that place. And then he dreamed. Well, I would suggest that where we are in our pilgrimage of life is where God wants us to be. Now, I'm saying that realizing that there may be times that we, like Jonah, we go the opposite way that God wants us to go. But God will bring us back. We need to listen to Him. We need to, like Jonah, submit to Him. And in Jonah's case, of course, it meant to be swallowed by a fish. Some think it was a whale. We don't really know. And then he was put right back on the very path that God called him to walk on. So God is doing some wonderful things in each of our lives. We don't always understand what He's doing. But here, Jacob had all those kinds of questions that we have at these critical junctures of our life. And he began to understand something about the providence of God, that God is really in control of the circumstances of our lives. And something, too, about the residence, or the transcendence, first of all. Transcendence just means that we need something, someone higher than ourselves. We need a power above ourselves to lift us up and help us along that path of life that seems so difficult and so confusing sometimes. And that's, I believe, what was going on in Jacob's mind. Again, you know, I don't think Jacob was like we may think, that he was just, you know, a holy man. He had this holy desire in his heart. He wanted, you know, from the time he was born to be a prophet or a great saint, we would call him. I don't think it was that way with Jacob at all. I think he was really almost opposite of that. Well, you know, I think we're all opposite to that, because the Bible says that in us dwells no good thing. It all comes from the Lord. That's what grace is. Well, Jacob was about to learn here more of the grace of God, how God is good, how God had good plans for his life. The Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. And Jacob was going to learn more about the goodness of God, but he needed to learn about His transcendence and His residence, how God wanted to live with him and dwell with him and walk with him. Bethel, you may know, means house of God. There are many churches with Bethel in their name. It's a good name. It just means house of God. That's truly what a church ought to be. That's what our homes ought to be. That's what our lives ought to be. We ought to ask God to come and indwell us and live with us, like the psalmist David, who said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He wants to reside with us. I think I shared last week the time that Jesus was asked, "Where do you live?" And he said, "Come and see." So he invites us to come and reside with him in that holy place. A person. We can learn about a person. And again, this all, I believe, has to do with worship. Now, we don't necessarily need a Bethel. Now, obviously, Jacob left Bethel. He came back sometimes, but it wasn't, you know, very much. I mean, he didn't live there. I think what that says is that God wants to go with us. God wants to inhabit us. He inhabits the praise of His people. And so He wants to walk with us on our journey, on that journey that He has marked out for us. That place, I believe, is the human heart, where God deigns to dwell with us, great as He is, and He is as vast as the universe, and yet He wants to dwell in our hearts. Isn't that awesome? I love that word, awesome, because that really describes what God is like. Awesome. He's an awesome God. And that's the person that I want to share in this ingredient, this mix, if you will, of what composes worship. Well, obviously, there has to be an object of worship. And there's no object more worthy than the one we read about here. When it says that Jacob dreamed and a stairway was set on the ground with its top reaching to heaven, I think maybe Jacob was asking, "Well, God, how can I know you? How can I come to you? What is that pathway to heaven?" I'm sure you know a very famous rock and roll song, "Stairway to Heaven." When our son Jonathan was learning to play the guitar, he actually learned that. And I heard him playing over at church one day, not when people were there, but I thought, well, that's a beautiful song. It was. You know, it really is a beautiful song. But I think what it does, it really answers that craving that we all have in our hearts to find God, to find that way, that pathway, to, if you will, to heaven. Here God is revealed. Here God says that the Lord, in verse 13, the Lord was standing there beside him saying, "I am the Lord, God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your offspring the land that you are now sleeping on." And so Jacob had a revelation of God. I think because his heart was open. And maybe because he didn't have some of the distractions that, you know, sometimes clutter up our lives and really cloud our vision of God and what He wants to do in our lives. Now, I know in that part of the world there was, it was kind of like our beautiful area here where at night you can just see the beautiful handiwork of God painted across the sky. Now, Jacob must have saw that as he went to sleep, must have thought, well, God is out there somewhere, but I don't know where. And so God gave him this vision of how to come to Him, a revelation, if you will, a salvation. Again, that ladder points the way to God. And Jesus said, "You will see the Son of Man ascending and descending upon that ladder." Jesus is the way to God, obviously. And if you have not come to know Him, then there's no other way, the Bible says, no other way of salvation. Trust Him today as your own Savior. And then there's an identification. God is identified here, the Lord. We need to be sure to worship the right God. There are many, of course, gods or so-called gods in this world. It's always been that way since the fall of man. It's certainly not the way God created them. Now, you know, there are angels, but they're not to be worshipped. We're told that. But there is only one true God, and Jesus spoke of that when He said, "They who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." So we must have both. We must have a spiritual worship, recognize that our spirits were made like God. They were made in His image. And we are restless until we rest in Him. But we must also worship Him in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you may object and say, well, Jacob didn't know that. He didn't. All he knew was God. I mean, there was no Jesus at that time. No, but Jesus was coming. It was that's from the Genesis on through Revelation. It tells about this one who was to come, the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15, who had bruised the serpent's heel, was prophesied. And we just had this wonderful Christmas time when we've been able to celebrate once again the coming of the light of the world into this world, our Lord Jesus Christ. All of that, I think, is really in essence and in, you know, it's there. It's behind what is told us here in words, but that's why we have the entire Bible, this wonderful book that God has given, unlike any other book. It goes back to the Word. We need to be in the Word. And then we need to learn to worship, as Jacob did here, to realize that we need that transcendent power of God, the true God in our lives. There's a promise. God says, I will not leave you. He said that to Jacob. And Jacob received that promise. God went on to say, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And he talked about how he would multiply his seed like the sand of the seashore. He said, your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, rather, and you will spread out toward the west. This is verse 14. The east, the north, and the south. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And I'm with you and I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. And I think Jacob, like Abraham, his grandfather, believed God. Believed this promise that God had given to him. We don't find any indication otherwise. In fact, when he awoke, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. You know, I think sometimes we look around this and we think, you know, how could God be here? You know, God may be somewhere else more important, or, you know, this is pretty, if God is here, then he's a pretty unimpressive God. I think Jacob had some thoughts like that. How can God be in this place, this far out of the way place, this place that, you know, I wish I weren't here right now. I wish I were somewhere else. Here I am, a homeless man. How can God be here? And yet God was here. And Jacob believed that. And there was reciprocity, which just means that Jacob realized, if God has done all this for me, then I want to commit my life to Him. He said, what an awesome place this is. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And then it says that he took a stone that was near his head and set it up as a marker. So there's a record made of this experience that Jacob had with God. I think because he didn't want to forget it. I think he knew his tendencies were to forget what God had done. And so he set up this marker. And then he made a vow. He said, if God will be with me and watch over me on my journey, and if he provides me food to eat and clothing to wear, and if I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I have set up as a marker will be God's house, and I will give you a tenth of all you give me. Now, you may think this was the beginning of the tithe. It really wasn't. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. I think the principle goes back to the Garden of Eden. It was obviously before the Jewish nation came into existence. But it just means that we give to God what belongs to Him. And then He promises to bless what we have remaining and multiply that. We go on and read about how Jacob became so prosperous. Why did Jacob become prosperous? Well, I think it was because he honored God. And he honored God first in his life. And it all grows out of this worship. What we talk about is worship. It's not just singing and, you know, a joyful expression or, you know, words alone, but it's a life that is dedicated to God and to His glory and His service. I think that's what Jacob learned at this place called Bethel. And may God teach us these lessons in our own lives, that we might be people that would be an honor to his name and would just be a testimony of his salvation to others.
God is in this place. Can't you feel him inhabiting our praise? He's here, lost in his embrace. Wrapped in mercy, he is all you ever need. God is in this place. We are surrounded by His grace. Feel the Spirit brush your face. Heaven's come. Is in this place. God is in this place. He can heal you. This power in His name. He's here. The atmosphere is changed by His presence, and darkness has to leave. God is in this place. We are surrounded by His grace. Feel the heavens come to earth today. You will never be the same. God is in this place. God is in this place. God is in this place.